Bibles now to 1 Samuel chapter 25. First Samuel 25. This is a rather lengthy chapter. We want to actually look at most of this chapter this evening. And we're looking at the faithfulness. The Spirit produces faith. Better translated here, faithfulness. And we want to consider as we read and then as we look into God's Word at the faithfulness of Abigail. Faithfulness of Abigail as an example to us. Let us hear the word of the Lord from 1 Samuel 25. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." They girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord all according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left any There had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall." So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And thus far in the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for the faithful account in thy scriptures of these days in the life of King David. We pray that we may be instructed by thy Spirit that thou wouldst be pleased to bless the preaching of thy word to the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his honor and glory and to the blessing of our souls. Lord, enrich us, strengthen us, teach us, and make us to be teachable. We pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, produces faithfulness. We have seen already at the various fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and now faith, or faithfulness. The word is faith, and obviously it has some connection with saving faith because it is produced in those who have saving faith. It is the sanctifying faith that is evident in the faithfulness of the Lord's people. Faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to one another, so that there is an integrity in the life of the Christian. I'm going to read, I don't like to read too much, but there's this lengthy quote here from Martin Luther in your bulletins. And Luther explains this faithfulness in this way. He says, when Paul lists faith here among the fruit of the Spirit, it is obvious that he means faithfulness or honesty, not faith in Christ. Hence, he says in 1 Corinthians 13:7 that love believes all things. Anyone equipped with this faith is not a suspicious person. He is a sincere one with a simple and honest heart. Even if he is taken in and experiences something different from what he believes, he is so mild that he gladly overlooks this. In short, he believes everyone, but he does not trust anyone. On the other hand, those who lack this virtue are suspicious persons, troublesome, bitter, and venomous. They believe no one except themselves, cannot bear with anything, will not yield to anyone, insult and distort whatever they see and hear, and segregate themselves from anyone who does not belong to their class. When this happens, it is impossible for love, friendship, concord, and peace to be preserved among men. But when these have been taken away, this present life becomes nothing but biting and devouring. Now love believes all things and so is often deceived. In this it does well. For it is better to be deceived with some degree of loss than for the general friendship and concord among men to perish. Faithfulness means then that one man keeps faith with another in the matters that pertain to this present life. That could almost serve as the sermon for this evening. It just covers an awful lot. And I appreciate many of Martin Luther's definitions as he goes through the fruit of the Spirit. But he's able just so wisely to contrast these things. The Christian promotes peace. The Christian is not argumentative. He is gracious and gentle, gentleness and goodness, we saw last week. But he's also faithful, faithful in his Christian service. And we do see, I believe, a wonderful example of faithfulness in the character of Abigail. I was thinking of a number of situations. I thought of David and Jonathan. There's a good example also of faithfulness, covenant faithfulness. A wonderful story to be developed. But we want to look at Abigail this evening. David is here a negative example of what we spoke of this morning. He was not slow to wrath. He lost his temper. And it's interesting in the way that the story unfolds in Scripture. If you look back at 1 Samuel 24, he had been the picture of restraint. He had gone into the cave where King Saul was. And he could have easily killed Saul and become king. But he didn't. He did take off a corner of his garment and held it up and showed him. He could have killed him, but he didn't. And Saul's heart was smitten and he was softened towards David. And everything was good. And David very admirably shows this restraint. But in chapter 25, he's the one that needs to be restrained. And isn't that true of the Christian life often? When you have the greatest advances in sanctification, that they can often be followed by failure. When we're not diligent, when we're not engaged in the spiritual battle that the Lord calls us to against sin. So we want to look at this faithful woman, this faithful Christian woman named Abigail. I want to look at a number of aspects of this faithfulness. I want to consider her, first of all, as a faithful mistress. I think this is one of the key parts of this story. Abigail, this story would have turned out much differently if Abigail had not listened to the young servant that came by and warned her of the evil that was intended against her husband and her as well, really. So he comes and says, "I have something to tell you," and she listened. She wasn't haughty. She wasn't proud. She gave this young man her ear, and it proved to be very, very profitable for everyone in that family and in that business that they owned together. And we read that in verses 14 to 17, that he lays out the plan that David has to come and slay, really, Nabal and his servants. So she was not too proud either to take his advice. You should go out and meet him. You should head him off the pass. You should try to remedy this, nip it in the bud, so to speak, and address it very directly. So we learn here that faithfulness treats everyone respectfully. I think we can see that in Abigail, that she has a good relationship with her servants. She's the boss lady, we would say today, but she's able to relate to them. She listens to their counsel and their advice. And so this is a good example, beloved, that we should be faithful in all our relationships, to respect everyone respectfully, to treat everyone respectfully. And we often do. I think Christians tend to be, we should be a little better at this, respecting those who are in authority over us in various situations, but also respecting our inferiors in that way. So a beautiful testimony of faithfulness as a mistress in her home and in their family business. Secondly, we find Abigail to be a faithful wife. And I think that this is true in a very remarkable way. Abigail worked very hard to protect the life of her husband. From everything that we read about him, we don't get the idea that life was very easy for her. He was a churlish man. He was harsh, is what that word means. He was not easy to get along with at all. And she had married him. Interesting that his name means fool. I have to wonder about a mother that would name her child fool. Maybe it was a nickname. I don't know, but that was her name. And she is faithful to him when she could have stepped back and said, "This is my big chance. David's going to come in. He's going to murder my husband. I'll be free from this burdensome marriage." She could just sit back and said, "I'm going to watch the providence of the Lord unfold. I'm just going to let history take its course. David have his vengeance." But She was a faithful wife, and she interceded for her husband. On a number of levels, she will come to this as well, but she had a very honest opinion of her husband. She said, he's a fool. He's not a smart man. He's not a wise man. But he's my husband. And so she said that in a way that was not, did not malign him, but was just the fact. This, everybody knows. Everybody knows what kind of a man he is. And that's just plainly known. So she didn't try to cover up for him or make him out to be something that he wasn't, but just declared who and what he was. So she had that, at least that devotion for her husband, that she wanted to keep this bloodshed. So there is the importance also of faithfulness in a marriage relationship. And this is one of the great challenges to young people, especially in these days, when there is so much unfaithfulness in marriage, so much of not just an example, but often an encouragement to be unfaithful because your husband is a schmuck. Your wife isn't worth it. Just walk away from this relationship. You made a mistake. Own that mistake. Leave it. Go somewhere else and start over. That's the way of the world today. That's the advice that they give very openly. They give that advice instead of having them work things out. And we know that when one person of a relationship is faithful, it doesn't mean that the other person is always faithful. And that hurts. It's a very difficult and trying situation to be in that circumstance. But a Christian will always say, I must be faithful regardless of what others do. The Lord has been faithful to me when I have been unfaithful to him, and I must be faithful in this relationship as far as it depends on me. How does marriage work? You're 100% responsible for 50% of the relationship, right? You can't change your spouse. You can change yourself. You're 100% responsible for 50% of the relationship. So you change the things that can be changed. That's run into a great deal of problems when you try to change each other instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to change. She was a faithful wife. She loved her husband. And she had other considerations why she addressed David as she did, but she was a faithful wife. Let's consider her also as a faithful citizen. She opposed the action of the future king. She didn't just go along with whatever he did or said. She said this. And very perceptively and wisely, she said, this is going to lead to trouble in your reputation. This is not going to bode well for you. If you kill him, verse 30, and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. She's saying, when you come to the throne, and I'm sure that you're going to come to the throne, we know that God has appointed and anointed you to that end. When you come to the throne, this is going to look ugly in your resume, in the as people look back on your life. You say, he just went in. He was kind and merciful to King Saul. He went in and just slaughtered Nabal. That was not a good thing to do. And so you can see here that David is in a position where he has, as we considered this morning, he's lost control of his emotions. He's lost his temper. For some reason, something's triggered this, and he's just said, I'm going to kill this man, just like that. And Abigail here, she reasons, this is going to be a blight on the history of your reign. Someday people are going to look back, they're going to say that was a real shame, what David did even before he was king. So she was willing, she saw her position, I think, as a saint in Israel, that she could withstand even this future king. She had higher values, in a sense. She understood the bigger picture of what this would do to the future king. She loved King David. I think that's very, very clear in the way that the text plays out. But she saw that this was not going to look good in the history of her nation as well. So she did it very respectfully. She did it very winsomely. She was just a superbly wise woman in the way that she approached David. But she did love the God of Israel first. That was her supreme devotion, her understanding of life and the application of it. And she wanted to prevent an angry miscarriage of justice. She might have been able to understand why David did what he did, but it would not have been right. So she did honor the king. And we see that in verse 28. She says, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. So she sees that this David is part of God's plan. He's going to sit on the throne because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. It's clear that the Lord is with you. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet, verse 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out of the middle of a sling. So she's really, she mentions a lot repeatedly the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the nation of God. She is interested in the integrity of the nation, the testimony of the nation. When we look to apply this aspect, we can see a number of different ways in which we could do that. We can think of Abigail's faithfulness to Israel as a nation. We should think about how we are called to be faithful citizens in Canada. It's more and more difficult to be discerning regarding that. But we are called, Romans 13, we're called to be faithful citizens of our land. And then to judge if that day may come when the government says, do not preach the gospel or put certain restrictions on the preaching of the gospel, then we may have to say we must obey God rather than men. But we ought to be a faithful citizen of our nation. But when we think of Israel as a nation, we also think in the Old Testament that Israel was also a picture of the church. And so it is wise for us to consider that we ought to be faithful in our church membership, faithful in our relationships with one another, speaking well of one another, helping one another, looking for places in which we can assist one another, faithfulness, integrity, joyful relationships in serving the Lord. And then we can also, and we'll do that in the next point here, be a faithful follower of Christ. I think we can say that Abigail was a faithful follower of David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, that she was filled with his spirit, that she had faith in the coming Messiah, and she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to then look finally at Abigail as being a faithful Christian. Her love for the Lord is very evident. And we've already looked at that in verses 28 and 29, but look also at verse 26, where again she talks about Jehovah, the Lord. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth. She's very conscious of God being active in the history of Israel. And as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. She's assuming there already that he's going to take her advice. The Lord has withholden thee. She sees God's providence and overruling in this affair. Verse 30. That we read already. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. When the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. It's interesting, again, just seeing the respect that she has for the Lord Jehovah and the Lord her King. She often uses that interchangeably, very respectful in every way. But her love for the Lord and the Lord's church and the Lord's work, very, very evident that she is a faithful Christian. And David then responds with blessing for her. In verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So he's very grateful and has been humbled by the Lord in receiving her advice. And that's part of faithfulness as well. Warning others of potential sin and then receiving that admonition as someone who loves your soul, as someone who is desirous of God's honor and blessing. So then when Nabal dies, David sends to take her as his wife. And of course, the end of the chapter, we have the whole idea of many wives that David has. So it becomes a little bit complicated, the history of Israel, but David cares for her. That's the thing that we want to focus on. David does care for her. And in a very special way, I'm sure she would have been provided for by whatever her husband left to her. But David takes her under his wing. So isn't Abigail a beautiful woman? Don't you just admire her integrity, her we would say class? She just is a woman who understands, looks at a situation, assesses it, understands what to do, responds with firmness, with haste, promptly addressing the situation. What a beautiful picture she is of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, faithfulness in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So, beloved, are you a faithful Christian? Can we look at our lives, at your testimony, and say, I trust that I am faithful. And as we've said in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, every one of the Lord's people has an element of each of these. I don't believe that anyone is absent of any of this fruit of the Spirit. Everybody has it in some measure. And yet, we can look at one another and say, there's someone who is marked by a particular one of these fruit of the Spirit. But each of us, beloved, can improve our Christian witness in our faithfulness. Are you conscious, beloved, of the Holy Spirit producing this within you? And not just as a matter of resolve, and we ought to be resolved to be more faithful and show faithfulness within the congregation especially, but being conscious then of your dependence upon the Holy Spirit for the success of that gift. When you see your failure to be faithful, that is the point at which you will seek the Lord and ask Him to make you more faithful in the service of the Lord Jesus. It is when we only make that resolve, when you only resolve to do it within yourself, then it is just a work of the flesh. But when you're dependent upon the Spirit, and that doesn't mean just letting go entirely, it is wise to make plans and to consider how I can implement greater faithfulness in my life, but being aware of the necessity of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and be aware that it's different from fulfilling the desires of the flesh. I keep coming back to that, but that's really the theme of this section. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and being conscious of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a friend talks about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's good to have a close Christian friend, close Christian friendships. But there really is no friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Song of Solomon, the bride says, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is my beloved, this is my friend. So friendship with the Lord Jesus, it's an aspect, one of the aspects of the emphasis on the covenant is that the Lord brings us into friendship with himself. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So may the Lord make each of us faithful, desiring to be faithful, faithful to the Lord Jesus, faithful in showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, treating others with honesty and respect, striving to be a faithful friend at all times. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the covenant faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ to our souls. We thank Thee for His friendship unto His saints. We pray, Lord, that as we consider the greatness of Thy faithfulness, that we also may be faithful to the Lord Jesus, faithful to Thee, faithful to one another. We pray that we may walk in the power of Thy Spirit, that we may show forth that we are Thy people by manifesting this fruit. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst make us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.